Hey guys, how's it going? Once again, this is Connor Gilson, the president of CG Consulting, and we're on podcast number 5. It's officially May 29th, which is the day I came into this world, 26 years ago. So that's pretty exciting. In all my excitement, I actually had a pretty good day today. Got a few things done, worked a lot, met somebody new, which is pretty cool. Talked to a few old friends, and in all that excitement, I almost forgot to do my podcast. It was 3:30, and I was like, "Oh darn it, I almost forgot." So I started doing my notes and putting that all together, and here we are. So basically, a lot has been talked about how our mindset is very important to us, how to really work on our belief system, our operating system, and really go into detail on how and why we believe things. And tonight we're going to talk about that as well. About ways to, we've talked about and identify these limiting beliefs, and we've talked about a few methods that make us understand why we have them, what times of our life we may have gotten them. But now that we've identified all of that positive excitement over that those limiting beliefs are there, that we found them, it's time to start pulling out beliefs and proving whether they're limiting to us or whether they're helpful. If they're helpful, it's easy for us because we can just pop it back in. Okay, this one's good, and put it back in. If this was a book right here, there'd be a little asterisk, a little footnote that says just because it's easy doesn't, we don't want to get in the habit of putting away a belief as good just so that we don't have to work on it or taking the easy route out. Yes, there's times where we can get a belief and be like, yep, this still works for us and put it away, but we don't want to get in the lazy behavior of, doing that constantly. We want to make sure that when we do put something, a belief that we have, and it's hard because there's a bias there. There's an incredible, insane amount of bias there when we look at our own beliefs. So we really have to go at them, and we talked about that last night, go at them and really focus on what really is benefiting us and what is hurting us. So as I talked about earlier and last night, most of our limiting beliefs are only there because our mind thinks that in some way they're serving us. So we have to do a self-inquiry. We have to question whether any belief or given belief is really serving me or not. And that's really the easiest way to do that. And I mentioned earlier that small thoughts or small beliefs branch off core beliefs. And most people have these small thoughts like these all the time, and they're so used to them popping up in their mind that they just subconsciously, ignore them. And this is why we need to be present. We need to be present in the present moment and really look at what's going on so that we don't really ignore these thoughts. We don't just let them go by us, or that sometimes we don't even notice these thoughts at all, let alone purposely ignore them. So these so-called small thoughts that we have, their origins come from, like I said, much larger core beliefs. And if it's a limiting belief, that's what it's going to be, a major pillar that's a limiting belief for us. And as we go through that and we discover that we just ignore our small thoughts, we'll ignore that core pillar. So that's why we have to be present in the moment. See, the interesting thing about the human mind is we're never in one moment for very long. In fact, the human mind, they've done studies on this, spends a large majority of its existence existing in two places. The two places are the past and the future. We as humans, unless you're very one with the present moment, don't spend too much time in the present. And that's just because that's how we learn and that's how we grow and things like that. We learn from our past and then we plan for our future. And even little goals, things like, hey, I'm going to start doing better at this. It's usually pushing towards the future. And if we've had bad experiences or good experiences, if we have a good a job that we're working at that we like, well, it's funny because when we go into a new job, we compare it to our past job, which usually we hate. But as we move along the time span of working there, we'll start focusing on what we want to do in the future. This isn't what I like anymore. I want to do this in the future. And that's just one example. But it's like we almost hit, when we ever focus on the past and the future, it's like we hit an autopilot switch. We click it up on our mind and we tend to disappear into the past or future for a while. We'll come back and we'll note something in the present very quickly, but then we jet off again back into autopilot, into the past and into the future. So being aware of the present moment simply means that you never believe that the illusion that, and we'll just pick on future right now, being aware of the present moment simply means that you never believe the illusion that the future is going to be any better than what is going on right now. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. It stings. A little painful. Oh, Connor, you're telling me that my future is never going to be better than what's going on now. And what I'm saying is that you don't need to, I'm not saying don't plan, don't set goals. You can do that still. In fact, if we don't have any forward direction, we roll backwards. That's how life goes. That's how business goes. If you're not making forward momentum and you start kind of coasting, it's an uphill battle. You can't coast. You can take your foot off the accelerator and maybe go up a little bit still because of the momentum. But if you let too much momentum leave you, you will roll back. One of the more personal things for me was with my background, my religion, my parents, things like that, it's a bad thing to become materialistic. It's very bad. It's a sin as far as the Bible's concerned, and while there is good beliefs about that, just wanting to be successful and wanting to make money isn't materialistic per se. It's when all you focus on is money and money, and you can never get enough and things like that. So what happened with my business is I was pushing my business ahead. I was 18-year-old. I had between my website design teams and my salespeople, I had 20 employees at 18, and I was netting $60,000 a year. For an 18-year-old, that's pretty good, netting that. That's paying all my employees, paying for all my expenses for business, paying my taxes, things like that. And I was still netting 60 grand. That's pretty good for an 18-year-old. But my parents were saying that I was being materialistic, and a few of my friends were saying I was being materialistic, and I decided to let my foot off the accelerator because I cared a lot about what those people thought because I cared about them. And I started taking on their beliefs and viewing myself as materialistic, so I dialed back. And while a big part of me becoming homeless was me losing my cars, it took me a long while to look at this part. But a big part of why I became homeless is because before those cars were even stolen, I had taken my foot off the accelerator and I had started coasting. And one of my favorite sayings when I was younger was, oh, I don't get why people like 9-to-5 jobs, because if you lose that one income stream, you're done. But me, I have to lose a bunch of clients and then I'm done. But you have to lose a lot. Like, I have so many incomes right now due to all my clients. Well, because I took my foot off the accelerator, I started rolling backwards. And once, a few clients started like ticking out, I wasn't really going and getting new clients. And I rolled all the way back. And a big part of me becoming homeless, as hard as it and painful for me to say it, was a big part me. It was a big part of me because I changed my beliefs to other people's. And that's not on anybody else. Everybody's going to have their beliefs. It was like I said before, we are in charge of what beliefs come into our mind and stay there. And I chose, me, Connor Gilson, chose to accept those beliefs and if I'm being completely honest, I did have some selfish gain in that because I wanted to, relax more. I wanted to go to Six Flags more. I wanted to play video games 13 to 15 hours a day. And I was like, no, I got this. My company's doing good. I'm sitting here playing video games and making crap tons of money. That's fine. That's fine. You're right. I'm getting materialistic. Let me go enjoy life. But that was a big part of it. So sometimes we have to be very sure that we are in the present moment. And we have to view that because, regardless of what you think or what we like to think life is one thing. It is the present moment. That is the definition of life. Sure, our past and our future mean a lot to us, but if you don't sit there and stop and think about what's going on in the present moment, you're never living. You're living, it's like driving a car and constantly looking at the rearview mirror for the past. Like, how straight can you drive if you constantly look at the rearview mirror? And don't get me wrong, I am a very, very good driver. I've never gotten in any serious accident. I've avoided many serious accidents because I look at my mirrors and I look around at my side view, my rear view. One of my first driving experiences, I was parked or stopped at a stoplight, and I looked up in my rear view mirror, and I remember it very clearly. A girl, blonde hair, probably mid-20s at the time, looking down at her phone, and I saw that she was looking down at her phone, and I hit the gas and pulled out around the car in front of me into the shoulder, and she plowed the car that was in front of me. And if I hadn't moved, she would have hit me probably even harder because I would like to think that she had some type of reaction time of me gunning the car out of the way. And I remember my dad saying, like, wow, how did you see that coming? And so I'm not saying don't look at your rearview mirror. Even when driving on the highway, you should be you should be looking, taking a glance every once in a while at your rearview mirror. But on the other hand, if you're constantly looking at it, you can't really get that far. And the other aspect is, like, if you constantly were looking at your GPS, whether you have a GPS unit still, I don't know why you would because of phones, but if you have a GPS unit or you have GPS on your phone, that's like looking at, the GPS the entire time or a picture on the GPS of your destination. Good luck trying to get anywhere looking at just your rear view mirror and your GPS. It's not going to help you. That's what we have to do. Present. We get somewhere. We can go from New York to California. We can go to New York to Florida by looking at 20 feet in front of us or so at night with our lights on, only seeing 20 feet in front of us at any given moment, and still get there safely. And yes, rearview mirrors and our GPS are very important tools, but if we constantly dwell on them and we constantly go in autopilot on them, it will hurt us when we drive. It will become not only hurtful, it can become fatal. And honestly, I'm going to tell you this, it can become very fatal when it comes to life, when it comes to our goals, when it comes to success. Because if you focus on that rearview mirror or that GPS the entire time, one, you're going to miss all the good moments that are happening right now. And maybe they'll pop up in your rearview mirror as you drive past them, but you're really missing out. So being aware of the present moment simply means you never believe the illusion that the future or even the past is going to be better than what is going on right this second. That is what life it is. That is what life is right now. It's that glorious moment that's right in front of you. And I believe that if you're not allowing yourself to be happy right now, and I've mentioned this in almost every podcast now, if you're not allowing yourself to be happy right now, nothing. And I'm sorry, you cannot argue this with me. If you are not happy right now, nothing external in the future is going to change that permanently. In fact, there was a study done, and the researchers studied both lottery winners and individuals who have become paraplegic to determine if winning the lottery made them happier or if sustaining an injury that lost mobility made them less happy. What they found was that immediately after the event, levels of happiness were higher with the lottery winners or lower with physically injured. And that after about 8 weeks or less, people returned to the level of happiness that they had before the event. Let that one sink in for you. And I like to take points, and I like to, you watch the Avengers with Tony Stark take something little and he like spreads his fingers apart and it like fills the whole room. That's what I like doing with things. So let's do that real quick. Let's take the idea of, you know, winning the lottery. And I can help with that because my grandfather was one of the fortunate people to win the lottery before I was even born. And he had anything that he ever wanted. And he was smart. This guy was smart. It didn't, as far as my opinion, I guess everybody else's opinion is different. There could be people that think that he wasn't smart with how he used his money. But he invested in stocks. He invested it in real estate. He invested it in gold and silver. He didn't, like, he blew parts of that money, but he also was very, very smart with parts of that money. And he was the one that taught me how to manage money. And he had a lot of money until the day that he passed. So, but he had all this good things. He'd go on vacation whenever he wanted. He retired early. He was always a hard worker. Before he even won the lottery, he had a crap ton of money. He owned a beach house on Charlestown Beach that I would later grow up in. He had whatever car he wanted. He had a Porsche like super early on in his lifetime. All that stuff. And there's a lot of happiness in parts of getting that much money. He was able to give to people, which always made him happy. He gave to my parents. He gave to me. He made my life very, very easy in certain parts because he gave me mutual funds and bonds, which he wanted me to go to college for. But he also respected that when I came to that age and I wanted to form my own business, he was always behind it. And there's a lot of happiness in that. But there's also times in his life where there's a lot of sadness. And then thinking about being physically injured, I can't think about that on a long-term scale. I was ripped apart by a pit bull when I was 18 years old and I could not walk and I could not use my arms because it tore into both my arms. One not so bad, but the other one so bad that it went limp as soon as he bit into it. It bit into both my feet, tore up parts of my knees out, and bit into my calf as well. So I couldn't walk. I would hop around on one foot, which then impacted my knee, which now I have problems with later on in life. But I couldn't walk. I had my parents got me a little electric wheelchair I would scoot around with. That was fun. Acceleration on that was crazy, but that's electric motors for you. But I couldn't walk for a month and I had to go through this process of rehabilitating my arm. I'm very determined and insane when it comes to rising against obstacles. So I was able to, within a 3 month period, get my full strength back in my arm and my leg and things like that. But I could tell you how depressed I was right after it happened, how terrified I was after, like if I'd go to someone's house and I heard a dog, I would flip out. There's times where I literally would just run away. And so to take that information that somebody that wins millions and millions of dollars that can do all this, like can go on vacations, can go anywhere in the world they want, can buy whatever they want. There's a lot of happiness in that. And then having a severe injury where you can't walk or move or things like that, that's also a big thing. But after 8 weeks or less, people return to the level of happiness that they had before the event. And I remember that with me. I remember when I got my first lump sum of money because of what my grandfather had done for me. I was super happy at first. I bought a laptop and an iPhone the same day, which was back then like ridiculously expensive. I think I spent like almost $2,500 on that stuff. But after a couple of weeks, I just went back to the normal person. Same thing. Even before I had recuperated from the injury, my happiness levels have went back. So now thinking about this, and I'm glad I blew this up because it shows me, and I'm learning from this as well, with this podcast, that information is pretty accurate. Barbara DeAngelis said a quote once that happiness is a skill, not an acquisition. So we can acquire money, we can acquire fame, we can acquire success, we can acquire the love of our life, we can acquire a soulmate, we can acquire the business that we've ever wanted, the dream that we wanted, the goals that we wanted. But happiness is never just acquired. The skill that we have to constantly work on and fight for to keep intact. So a typical example of our thoughts and emotions in the wrong context is when someone eats something that they are not supposed to eat, whether it's bad for them, whether it's unhealthy, whether they're on a diet, whether they're trying to lose weight. They then feel guilty over the fact that they couldn't restrain themselves instead of just accepting the emotion of guilt that they failed on something or they fell short, and that it might even have something valuable to tell them. For instance, that a certain type of food is not good for their health. They start resisting it. They resist the emotion of guilt by starting a pattern of blame, of negative self-talk, pity, talking themselves down. And then this leads to sadness, which is funny because then that sadness leads to the effort to resist the sadness. And in doing that, they eat even more. So that's the interesting thing. The world and everything around us has absolute balance. There is absolute balance in the majority of everything. The world doesn't just flip and skid out of orbit and crash into the sun or another planet or like fly. Like it doesn't just stop spinning. If you look at space around us, there's more kind of perfection in space than there is on Earth, which is always interesting to look at. Things don't crash. Like there's things that like fly around and hit things, but planets don't just tip out of orbit and crash into each other. The sun doesn't just start swallowing like planets. The universe doesn't collapse in on itself. There's more of a balance and perfection. And if you look at the Earth on a energy level, it's very balanced. So things always come to balance. So if you push hard in one way, it will always eventually rack it back. That's just how it has to work. So people, they get sad, they get upset, they build guilt, and then this whole cycle locks back down to, oop, I ate more, and then it starts again, boom, and off in the vicious circle you go. But they could have avoided this whole cycle if they had just accepted that the feeling of guilt that has arisen in them and checked whether it has something valuable to tell them. That's pretty simple, right? So full acceptance of the current moment, if you will, is definitely not about being passive and sticking your head in the sand. Acceptance of the current moment is more about making a logical and clear-headed decision in that moment, something that you can only do when you fully, fully recognize where you currently are and where you want to go. Bringing that back to being present in the present moment. So I personally believe that I have the power to accept anything that happens to me in my life. And once you get that belief in you and your mind believes it and operates that way, I just had something that happened very traumatic recently, and I'm probably not going to talk about it on this podcast. Maybe I'll bring it up in later ones after the dust kind of settles. But it was kind of a two whammy. One thing happened and I like was like, nah, I'm fine. I can handle this. I got this. And then something else came up, which jeopardized my whole entire plan. And that kind of made me nervous, kind of scared me a bit. But once that's the fun part is once something's a belief in you, once that there's that level line, even though I was scared and terrified, now it's interesting because if I had a line of depression and I spiked out and was like happy for a bit and then dropped back down to my neutral, which was depression, it'd be so much harder to live life. But with me, happiness is my neutral. There's extreme happiness where I'm off the walls. Like if anybody that talked to me tonight, I actually had a friend that was like, you're like crazy, like happy and excited. So I do still have highs where I'm above that just normal happiness line, but it's crazy, almost manic, like excitement happiness. And then I'll go back down. There's sometimes I go low into depression or sadness due to certain aspects. I am human after all. But even after I was worried about everything, losing everything again, blah, 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 I popped back up to my normal happiness level. And that's the cool thing. Once you set that line and your mind is used to being in that, then you coming back to that neutral of being happy again, it's so much easier. It's so much better. It's just wonderful. So here's what the questions that I use when I'm looking at a belief. Number one, is this belief enhancing or decreasing the quality of my life? Number two, why do I feel this way? And number three, what secondary benefits am I getting from believing this? It's interesting because, and I mentioned this before, I don't remember if it was last night or the night before, all my beliefs aren't all from me. A lot of them are from other people. So either I create whatever belief I want to have from scratch, and there are ones that I have. There are some thinking patterns that I have that I've never heard anybody ever mention before. And even people in my consulting business or in my personal life have latched on to these beliefs because they like them. Or I come across someone else's belief that I really like, that I enjoy. I read it in a book or I hear it on a YouTube video or I hear it in a podcast or an audiobook and I go, dang, that is some life-changing crap right there. But with that, finding a lot of my beliefs and reading the work of like Gary Vaynerchuk, Alan Weiss, even things like even in certain movies, TV shows sometimes, even fictional characters can have some really cool beliefs to adapt. But that's what you should do. You should be reading the work of role models that have succeeded in the areas of life that you want to succeed in. If you want to be a better, I remember when, a little personal thing with me, when I was taught how to date by my mother. I think a lot of us are. And I was crap at dating. I was horrible at it. And when I was 16, I decided to start learning from an expert. So I started reading books and listening to tapes and things like that. And one, my parents weren't a fan of it because the techniques were against what they believed. I got in trouble a bunch of times for that when they would find the CDs and stuff. And then I actually had a bunch of friends that made fun of me and was like, hey, Connor has to read books on how to date women. But in my head, that wouldn't bother me because I knew that it was something I needed to work on and I need to learn from experts, people that are good at it. So that's what I did. And I did get a lot better at that. So it doesn't always have to be. Maybe you want to be a little bit more happier. Maybe your rage is insane. That's what I'm currently like working on controlling and things like that. I sometimes, because I'm so emotional, I feel things so vividly, I get too intensely upset about things and I'm working on that, which is fun for me. But if I didn't admit that I have a flaw, and then didn't look at it and said, okay, all right, I have a flaw, but by me working on this flaw, is this going to take time away from other things and kind of put me at a disadvantage? Or is this going to help me and put me at an advantage? And I've went through that evaluation on my anger a few times throughout my life. And right now, I have finally seen that it's probably best that I start working on it. And the best part about it is with me working on it now, I am experiencing life even a little bit more happier. The way I deal with people, I don't just cut off from them and be like, okay, bye. I try to work out things and try to, you know, use other techniques to bridge that. And if you don't want to read whole books or whatever, I always suggest that people do read whole books. If you want to get successful and you don't read books, the only person I know that doesn't do that is Gary Vaynerchuk. But I also find it kind of funny because he also writes books. So it's a little bit of a disconnect in my mind there for that one. But another great way to find really empowering beliefs is to go through quotes and find the ones that really resonate with you. Now, it's a little different than a book, because a book is an actual proven, in most cases, if you're reading a book about money and success and things like that. I think this podcast is actually going to be a little bit longer than the other ones, because there's a lot of information in this kind of section of thinking here. But when you're reading a book, you're reading a proven strategy, a blueprint, if you will. So you don't have to, you know, go over everything so aggressively. But when you're looking at quotes, I don't want you to pick up any quote that you think like, that's kind of cool. I like that. I want it to resonate with you. So if you don't know what resonate means, if you take a pitchfork and you hit it on something, the noise that you hear is the metal resonating through the air. And that's what creates the sound waves. So that's what I want. If you actually look at a pitchfork in a slow motion camera, you will actually see the metal is flexing, and that's what's creating the music or the sound. So with that, you need to find quotes that kind of, for lack of a better word, disturb your current energy and your current thinking pattern. So the next mistake that people make when doing affirmations, when they find something that they want to believe and they think it's a good idea, is they try to install beliefs like, I am really wealthy, or I am really fit, before those things have actually happened. That's one of the things. I do believe in the law of attraction. I believe in a modified version, not the one that they completely teach in that documentary. I believe that you can't just like pump out your mind thoughts into the universe and be like, yo, I'm just not going to do anything and get rich. Like, nope, that's not how it works. But one of the core beliefs of the law of attraction is saying things like this: I am really wealthy, or I'm really fit. And I will strongly say, nope, that's not how it works. Because with me knowing how much about the mind and how the mind processes things, these affirmations are beliefs that your mind will completely view as lies. And as soon as your mind hears them, it is going to call your bluff. And you are going to get wailed by wave upon wave of thousands of reasons for why you are neither wealthy nor fit. Because the mind deals in reality, and you can alter that reality slightly. It's a very gentle movement thing, or sometimes it might be an aggressive thought like, this needs to stop. And I've had a lot of things, like people think I'm very aggressive and tough on other people when someone steps out of line and is starting to hurt themselves. And I come down on them, be like, nope, this is not how it's going. This is what you're doing, things like that. There's not one person on this earth that I do that more to than myself. If you heard the conversations that went in my head sometimes when my brain realizes that I'm being a complete freaking idiot and not listening to what I know should be working, or I'm being lazy on something, the amount of, and it's not negative self-talk that bashes me in a constructive way. It's rough. It's brutal. I think if people listen to that thought pattern or what I think at certain times, you'd be like, wow, like, die it down. I don't think I could ever be like that to another human being, because I'm pretty sure it would destroy them. But I'm just so used to that mechanism when I am making excuses for myself or lying or things like that to myself or getting lazy, that thing clicks in and kicks my butt, so to speak, to get me to latch on and start focusing on stuff. But you having a belief that I am wealthy or I am fit when you're not, your mind is going to call your bluff. It's going to tell you that you're talking lies and it needs to fix it. But you can do affirmations that are a lot better. Like, I believe that it's a lot easier to become wealthy if we're taking massive action towards our goals. And that's one that I believe quite a bit, that if you're taking massive action, and trust me, there's going to be times where you work so hard and don't see results. But reality is, if you're constantly taking massive action, eventually it will happen. It will. Especially if you're trying to like gain control in all your thought patterns and trying to become an expert in the things that matter, it will happen. And then things like, another belief that I have is, from this day forward, I will take massive action towards my goals because I know that is a lot easier to become wealthy when I am doing so. And once again, you're not creating a false pretense like, oh, I'm wealthy. Or, you know, one of the things in the law of attraction is when you get a check or a bill, write a couple zeros off of after it and be like, I'm going to get a check in the mail. That's like, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Wish it did. Wish it did. That's not how it works. But you'll know that you've reached the point that I'm talking about when you start acting on the belief without thinking about it, when it becomes the operation of self-conscious. So once you install that new belief and you're thinking about it and focusing on it, and you don't need to focus on it all day, every day, 10, 15 minutes, you know, a week thinking about it, or if it pops up, you know, like I said, being present in the moment, that's the hardest thing that I'm ever going to ask you to do. Being present in the current moment is so hard because our minds get distracted so easily. You know, it's like somebody that has ADHD. Like, they focus on one thing for a little bit and then whoop, off they go. We all have that in that degree. When we try to focus on the present, our mind becomes like a shaking volcanic eruption that just wants to go back to the past or jump to the future. And it's kind of interesting. Hopefully you guys find it interesting when you're thinking, like when you start noticing it, now that you're aware of it. Don't get upset. Don't get frustrated when it happens. Just use a technique. It's called noting. Just note that it's happening. All right, hey, I'm jumping back into the past. Hey, I'm jumping back in the future. You don't need to beat yourself up for it. You don't need to get angry or upset. You can go into it and really just be like, yeah, okay, this is happening. But for all of these benefits, and that's the reason that it's completely worth the effort that you're going to use to install these new beliefs. If you just take five, you know, from this day forward for a whole calendar year, installing just five empowering beliefs a year has the potential to create insane radical shifts in your life. Sometimes we get overzealous and that motivation kicks in. We got to pull our whole operating system apart and, you know, work on it. You can't, there's a reason why when we do updates on our computers, it's a, you know, a system, like things are done in parts. You don't just like, if you, or even on our phones, like certain things get upgraded. It's not like every single year, everything gets like completely changed in the operating system. You have to upgrade parts. Okay, and it's more fun that way. Honestly, I would have hated it if I just figured everything out and just like plopped in something. I'm like, okay, I'm a god now. Like, I think that would be boring in that aspect because there's no fun after that. There's no challenge, and humans love challenge. Whether you're male or female or whatever, we all love challenge. We love mystery. We love trying something new. So that's why it's fun. So just five. Find, and like I said yesterday, find beliefs that are limiting you and severely limiting you and change them. Change five, just a year. Work on one for the first like 3 months. And then if you want to start adding more, go for it. But if you do that, then you're going to create a crazy radical shift. And then what you got to do is you just got to become aware of whatever evidence you can find to support this new belief. I talked about that last night, finding evidence to support new beliefs. And you want to collect it as much as possible. I want you to kind of see yourself as like a defense attorney who needs to do his best to prove that the new belief is really true. Because that's the interesting thing in any type of lawsuit or whatever. You have the plaintiff who says, this is how it is, this is what's going on, I feel like I've been wronged or my client's been wronged, whatever. The defendant's job to a simplified version is to create this new belief and then prove that that's the truth and it's not what the plaintiff thinks to the jury or to the judge. So it doesn't matter how out there or ridiculous your reasoning seems, just as long as it is supporting your new belief, that's what you want to go after. Because your mind will weed through whether certain beliefs are out of control or not. But if you're going to go for massive success and massive growth, you have to be crazy sometimes. Sorry. That's why some of the most successful people have a little bit of craziness in them. Or a lot. But that's what you got to do. And it doesn't matter how ridiculous or real the evidence is, because a lot of your existing beliefs are built on random evidence anyways. Now, there's the balance. Once again, we talk about balance here, because just a couple minutes ago, I said, don't say things like, oh, I'm fit right now, or I'm wealthy right now, because your mind will come against you. So it's going to be about learning that balance with your own mind about how crazy you can go for your mind to believe before pushing past the threshold where your mind kicks in and says, okay, no, you're freaking insane. This is how it is. And then hits you with the waves. It's going to be something that you have to learn to deal with. So make it a game in your everyday life to find as much evidence you can for your new beliefs, as much and as many as you possibly can. So that positive evidence finder is a method that I use to install a new belief into your system. Now, the other thing is what I call the negative evidence finder, which consists of pretty much the opposite of finding evidence for why a negative belief you have is not true. So if you find something that's hurting you and that it's negative, do the same thing, but do it reversely. Find reasons why this belief, find as many as you can. It's like a scavenger hunt. Find like, hey, you know, I have to work hard to be, that's one of my favorite ones. I have to work really, really hard to make money. Well, there are a lot of people that haven't had to work hard to make money. There's smart money. There is. And don't get me wrong, in order to make your first like large sum of money, you are going to have to work hard. There's a reason why there's a grind, because if everybody can make money super, super easy, well, then everybody would do it and it just wouldn't work out. Once again, balance. There's always going to have to be rich people. And unfortunately, there's always going to have to be poor people. But even in a person that's poor, they have the balance of a lot of them are happier than rich people, or they have something else going for them. So there's always that balance there. But you need to find negative or get rid of those negative beliefs. You're going to have to find evidence to do that. So if, and I'm going to use one that I thought of randomly, if you believe that it's impossible to get out of like depression or severe depression, you will play the negative evidence game by finding pretty much as much proof as humanly possible that points to the contrary. So go out and meet people who used to be depressed and overcame it. Go online and find success stories. Read them over again. Read them 5 times if you have to. Cut them out. Put them on your wall. Whatever. Ask your doctors to tell you stories about people who overcame their depression. And then here's the interesting thing. If someone comes up to you and starts giving you evidence for why it's hard to get out of depression, just understand that it might be hard according to that person's beliefs, but with your new thinking, you realize that their beliefs don't have anything to do with your own beliefs unless you allow them to. So it's important for us to install beliefs that we actually think are true on an intellectual level. Like I said before, you can have balance, you can have crazy beliefs. And sometimes a lot of my belief system now was what I viewed as crazy before. And then I started looking for things. I started looking for proof and evidence. And a lot of those beliefs have now been cemented. And a lot of those beliefs in my belief system, granted not all of them, have actually helped me. And helped me become the person that I am, helped me become the person that people view as incredibly unique and special and thinks differently and helps people and cares and has morals and things like that. But in order to avoid that major resistance from your mind, you have to make sure that the beliefs that you install in your mind, you actually think are true on an intellectual level. And that is pretty much it. Maria Robinson said it best. Nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. Well, that's about it. That podcast is a little bit longer than the other ones at 44 minutes right now. But wanted to go over that. That's pretty important. Learning how to reinstall and work on beliefs. It's a kind of complicated aspect. It's going to take you a while to learn. So keep this, podcast marked here. Maybe this one in particular. Favorite if you have to. Not for my sake, for your sake, and go over and listen to it a few times. And, listen to a couple times right now if you have to, and then in the future go back to it and listen to it. Remember to just keep present in what's going on around you right now, because there is no proof that the future is going to be any better than now. It can be. And the more you gain that happiness and focus on that happiness in the moment, your future will be better because you'll have more moments where you're happy. Instead of looking back and being like, oh, I was happy here. Or, I'll be happy in the future when I hit this goal. Think about your happiness now. And if you're constantly happy, when you do look back at the past, there'll be a lot more happiness, a lot more brighter outcome in the rearview mirror, rather than just, a dark sky where you see these pigeonholes of light coming down where you're like, oh, I remember that. That was really good. But you'll look back and a lot of it will be sunny. You'll have your dark moments. You'll have your those dark clouds rolling around in the background way off in the distance. But most of it, what you see there is going to be sunny. And then our future, it helps us in our future because, we are constantly creating goals, but we're not like letting them destroy us. No, we're not letting them destroy who we are in the moment. Anyhow, guys, that is about it. I'm actually pretty excited because I started to see my podcast showing up on Apple and Google. I clicked on them. None of them are starting to play yet, so I think they're still doing a little like tinkering and work on them, but they are visually there. Or maybe I just need to close down the Apple Store and restart the app and maybe it'll work. But yeah. But anyways, it's 4:31 in the morning. Talk about devotion, huh? I wanted to make sure that I got this podcast out. I was pretty tired, like barely keep my eyes open while I'm doing this. But I got it out and it is a very important part. I wanted to take my time on it so you guys can really have the strategy and the blueprint on how to get rid of limiting beliefs and how to get new beliefs in. Once again, my name is Connor Gilson, and I am the president of CG Consulting, and I'll be seeing you tomorrow.